Get ready. It's time to tee it up with Keith Jones.
Coming up on today's show, we introduce you to Casey Kerr, longtime renowned PGA Tour caddy. So stay tuned and get ready as you tee it up with Keith Jones. Welcome to the show. So glad you'd be along this hour. Outstanding guest. I know I say I get such great guests on this show. I'm very, very fortunate. Now, this guy and I have a lot of parallels. We're both Maryland guys to start out. We know a little bit about Congressional Country Club and there's more things about this hour's guest. A new book is out called Walking with Greatness, My Caddy Life on the Tour with Fred Fuzzy, Vijay Tiger, and more. So who knew that Casey Kerr was not only an outstanding caddy, but he also was a poet, wouldn't you know it? So we welcome Casey to the show. I've been really anxious, looking forward to having you on the show. It's a pleasure for you to make time and come and join us.
Yeah, happy to be here, and love Maryland.
Yeah, so we're PG County boys, too. That's kind of ironic that way. And, you know, it's our old county is quite not like it used to be, but it still does exist outside our nation's capital.
Yeah, you were Douglas, I was Surrattsville, and we all used to get our beer at BK Miller's in Clinton. Hello, BK Miller's.
It may still be there. Who knows? Yeah, that was, the PG is still
one of the... it's been in the family, like, since 1915. They're still there.
Yeah, so I find great humor in that because, the caddies I know have been known to drink. So, along the way, I get good humor out of that.
Yeah, we were very thirsty, but if you walk 18 holes in the sun with a GoPro yelling at you, you can work up a good thirst.
So you caddied for some of the greats of the games, and I know you had the opportunity to be on Fuzzy's bag for a long time. Fuzzy was on the show a number of years ago. An interesting guy, and I find great irony in the fact that Fuzzy has a vodka now, because I think vodka was one of his favorites when he was out on the course or around the course or after a round.
Yeah, he says now we drink more than we sell.
It always helps when you can have somebody make stuff for you and enjoy life that way. So, but you had an opportunity over time, and the book is an interesting read with lots of anecdotes. And I like the anecdotes because it's different stories that you've had, that you've accumulated. And you could tell stories. I've had Fluff Cowan on the show, and I've had other caddies along the way. And you guys always have something to say because you're in the front lines. We talk about golf. Golf is the only sport where you're right there in the action and you're not the main participant.
Yeah, like I mentioned to you before, when you're right there on the front line and he hits a shot, I mean, you are right there. So you feel the shot, you see the shot. I was thinking the other day, what was the greatest shot that I ever witnessed in my whole life? And I was up in Calgary with Fred Couples, and they put him on the clock for being too slow. We were paired with Langerin. He got very upset, and we got to the ball, and he screamed at me, what's the yardage? And the tour official was in the cart, looking at his wrist, watching the clock. And Fred was just living. He said, give me the number. It was like 86 or 83 or 80 something. And he said, he wants me to pick up the pace of play. Watch this. I'll show him how to pick up the pace of play. And he hold it from the fairway. And he looked over at the official. And he said, is that fast enough for you?
Well, you got
to admit, one of the things about pro golfers that I think the public would be really interested to know is that to think that these guys are good is not true. These guys are the greatest. And they make it look so easy and effortless. If you watch them out of the bunker sometimes, you're like, how do they do it? They are just that good. They're a symphony of efficiency at times when it just comes to execution. Like the guy that's number one in the world right now, I mean, watching that guy, I mean, just how does he do it? His touch is just amazing.
Yeah, and you know Ted Scott, his caddy's talk, as Casey's talking about Scottie Scheffler, obviously, but you know, Scottie's an interesting guy, and he knows so much about the game. And Ted's been around for quite a long time, and he's been on the bag of some big name players besides Scottie as well.
Yeah, I'm actually pretty jealous of Ted Scott. I mean, that guy has, I don't want to short him, but I think he's got four green jackets, two with Bubba and two with Scottie. I mean, can you imagine? I just want one green jacket. This guy's got four. I mean, Tiger had five, Jack had six, Arnie had four, Mickelson had a few. I mean, I just want one. But then again, there's a long list of people in that line, you know?
Yeah, for sure. But the other commonality that Casey and I have is we think the Masters Golf Tournament is one of the best events on the planet. Execution-wise, operations-wise, everything about that tournament is so super special. And it doesn't matter, Casey, how many times you go through those gates, you get the chills, and it's new every year.
You know, I got this word from Phil Mickelson years ago. The word that comes to mind immediately, number one, it exceeds all expectations by leaps and bounds. And number two, in Mickelson's words, just exhilarating. I mean, the vibe that you get, the energy that you get, the way they put on the show, it's by far and away the best run venue in the world, and others have emulated it. And if you want to copy the best, that's where you go. And they can't be any nicer to you. They don't gouge you on the hot dogs or the burgers or the sandwiches or the pimento cheese or whatever you want there. And it really is something spectacular to go to. And we always go to the front of the clubhouse because as a complimentary to the patrons, as they like to call them, they take your picture in front of the clubhouse for those of you that haven't been, and they email it to you that evening. So every year for I caddy 30 in a row, but my buddies, we all go there to have that picture taken in front of the clubhouse every year just because it's a tradition. And it's just fun that they offer that back to the patrons.
Yeah, it is. And I'm going to have to sneak over there next year for that. I've had my picture taken with Lee Elder and some other people in that area. But to have, that is an extra thing for the patrons is something else. And that's the other thing, too. They're not fans. They're patrons. So the Masters and Augusta National, they have their own verbiage. They have their own rules. The PGA Tour should really take some notes, you know, because the cell phones should be checked at the gate or at the door for PGA Tour events. It's really it's annoying. And if you yell out at the Masters, you're going to be let out the gate and not invited back, you know, things like that.
Well, the other way that they grow the game, and they grow the game in so many capacities around the world, but at their own venue, children under the age of, I don't know if it's 12 or 13, but all young junior golfers, young kids, at the Masters, they have a standing rule. They're all allowed to go to the front. If it's 10 deep, there's a watch and Tiger, all the junior kids are allowed to go to the front and stand right there as close as the ropes that they can get to. That's a standing rule at Augusta. I think it's one of the coolest rules ever for kids, you know?
Yeah, and I like around the putting green as well because they have a special section for just the youth to go over there and talk with the golfers and get their autographs and such, where, you know, some of the adults, I look at the envy in their eyes as they're not allowed to go over and do that and bother the players and such. But the youngsters get that opportunity, and it makes it fantastic. And I feel like as we do our shows leading up to the Masters, you potentially could come back on or would come back on and talk about that stuff. But it's such an experience.
It's definitely my favorite week. And, you know, Tigers made an impact on the game when there's guys playing currently, even Scheffler, and they go, yeah, I remember watching Tiger here, and, you know, everyone says, I remember watching Tiger. Shane Lowry, he's a big fan of Tigers. I mean, who's not a fan of Tigers? I mean, you know, he did so much to transcend the game. I personally love Tiger. I think he's done great, and I think how he's helping his son play. I just think he's given back in so many ways. I think he's wonderful.
Yeah, and you know, and for have him go back later in life and win another green jacket, that was an unbelievable week. And to be on the grounds during that tournament.
Yeah, five of them. I was at all five of them.
Obviously there's a runaway early on, and then, but you know, being injured and people deeming he had no shot to put on another green jacket, and for him to do that many years later, that was an unbelievable accomplishment. And when Tiger's ever at a tournament and he doesn't have to necessarily be playing, it is bedlam. It is insane. You're talking about 10 deep. I've been U.S. Opens, and it's been like, you know, 25 deep. It's just the Tiger factor for golf came at a good time. But it's amazing when you think about the 20-year-olds or the youth getting into the game never saw him play, right? So that you know, some of us are much more fortunate than others when it comes to that, because that Tiger effect is still in play.
Oh yeah, like I said, what the guy did for the game is, you know, there's always going to be a big name guy in the decades. You know, when I first started caddying, there was Palmer, there was Nicklaus, there was Greg Norman, there was John Daly. You know, then Nick Faldo was there, and then, you know, Tiger came along. There's always been one big name that carries the game for a while, but what Tiger did was just incredible. Being paired with him, you know, anytime anybody back in the day was paired with him, every caddy that night had a Tiger story, just because, you know, he'd greet you on the tee. Like if you were the caddy, and you know, he'd say, Tiger, he couldn't have been more of a gentleman. And that way you go, okay, at least the guy's human. He said hello and he knows who I am. But once the gun teed off, let me tell you, that was the last you saw a Tiger, because his mind was totally focused. And I think what anybody can learn from a guy like him was just how focused he was and how he gave 100% on every shot. I'm telling you, no matter what it was, if he shot 78, it was impossible to shoot 79, because he gave on every shot. So I think just watching him get into what they call the zone and get focused in and really, really be in the game, I think it's contagious. Then your player gets in the game and he tries to get in the zone. So anybody that's out with him, obviously they're in good position, because back then you weren't out with him because he was near the end of the pack. You know, you were out with him because he had a chance to win the tournament.
Absolutely, all the time. As we're with Casey Kerr, renowned caddy on Teed Up with Keith Jones, and talking about golf in general and all the great stories in Casey's book. And Fluff started out on the bag with Tiger when Tiger was young, coming up, and then he switches to Stevie Williams, and then he ended up with one of your buddies, Joey LaCava. And, you know, Joe really gave a different kind of approach to it, because he's a very low-key guy. I watch him to this day, and he, you know, he gives you the information, but he is not in your face at all.
Yeah, well, no matter who your player is, with Tiger, big name guys, you have to adapt to what works for them, and Joe is great at that. Steve Williams was fantastic. Fluff had done it for years, so, you know, I mean, he had quality guys helping him. But I used to say, no offense to those guys, I used to say, look, Tiger he was so good, he could pick a volunteer out of the group, and he could win with a volunteer. He was that good, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, you think about that. I always tell people he could win with hitting a stone with a stick. As we're with Casey Kerr, heading to our first break, we'll be back. We'll be right back. And we are back with Casey Kerr. He is a renowned caddy, and he's out with a book called Walking with Greatness. Great stories in there, including a bunch of tell stories about caddies and caddy shacks and all kinds of good stuff. So it's definitely an interesting read. But Casey's an interesting guy as well, because anytime you're on the Fuzzy Zeller's bag for as long as you were on there, Fuzzy has his own stories. Then you know, if you listen to those, you could fill a book just secondhand.
Oh, one thing about Fuzzy, he was quick-witted, and he was easygoing. He was probably my most favorite guy to work for, only because, you know, he just took everything in stride. He was real easygoing. He wasn't uptight. He wasn't really blaming anything on you. You know, he took all the blame for everything, and he was just. He definitely was different than any of the other guys. I mean, the other guys were a lot more intense than Fuzzy was, but Fuzzy was just great to be around. People ask me, was he really like that off the course? And I used to say, no, he's better.
One guy that's not in the subtitle of the book is the Big Easy, Ernie Els. So you're on Ernie's bag at one point in your career, and you're on Vijay Singh's bag for a different point in your career. And those guys... From the outside, if you are a follower of golf, Vijay is a tinkerer. You watch him, and he's pretty intense. And Ernie seems to be earning his nickname, the Big Easy. But that's just what people see on the surface. What did you see for those guys?
Yeah, well, Ernie's extremely intense, and Vijay, he was a practicing machine. One thing about working for Vijay, you had to watch him hit every ball. I mean, he was critiquing every shot. Did I pick it up? Did I take it outside? Did I take it inside? Was it parallel at the top? How's my shoulders look? You know, he was the ultimate grinder and just unbelievable work ethic that he had. Ernie, on the other hand, was more of a, you know, the Big Easy, his swing, he was more of a field player. And, you know, his rhythm, his goal, I think, on a daily basis was just to repeat the same swing every day. I watched him last week in the playoff, and, you know, he looked really good, and he just has that nice pace that almost can put you to sleep, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But to answer your question, the difference between guys like Ernie and Vijay and Couples and Zeller, you got to remember the one common denominator that they had was they all won majors. And there was always a difference between a guy that won majors, a guy that won tournaments, a guy that won one time, and then a journeyman that never won at all. You could always tell the difference because, you know, their standards were different. I mean, I won't say that they tried harder than the guys that didn't win tournaments, because those guys are trying harder. They were just more gifted and more talented, to be honest.
So how much of it is talent versus work ethic?
Well, you got to have talent, and you got to have work ethic. You got to have both. They used to say Fuzzy Zeller never practiced. Well, he said he never practiced. He told people he never practiced, but trust me, he practiced. And to fine-tune that instrument, no matter if you're in an orchestra or if you're playing golf, you got to stay on top of it. Mainly chipping. The one guy, Payne Stewart, that I caddied for years ago, one of the common denominators that he had that I found most interesting, because they all have a different way they warm up. Payne Stewart made sure that he warmed up with every club. He worked the wedge, the drivers, all of it. Fuzzy Zeller, he only warmed up with even number clubs, because when he was growing up, his dad gave him the odd set, and he gave his brother the even set, so he never had even clubs when he was growing up as a kid. So they all have certain stories of growing up, and those habits are still with them to this day. I mean, I've been to the golf course where Vijay grew up in Fiji, and when he took me to the golf course, I was shocked. We drove the courtesy car out onto the golf course. That's how rough the course was. I was like, what? And he took me to this tree. He said, Big Daddy, I nicknamed him Big Daddy, and he called me Big Daddy. He said, Big Daddy, this is where I grew up hitting balls. So the history that these guys have over the years is incredible. Fred Couples' mom used to give him, I think, $1 or $5. I forget what it was, to go to the golf course. And He had it budgeted where X amount went for balls, X amount went for a hot dog and a drink, and he knew exactly what. And he took me to where he grew up as a kid. So going to see these places, these guys have been doing it, practicing it their entire life. And the reason they're so good, in fairness, that's all they've ever done.
It's amazing. As we're hearing it from KC Kerr, who's on the front lines with all these guys over the years. Outstanding individual and very, very interesting, if you couldn't tell. He's going to spend the hour with us. We're heading to the bottom of the hour. We'll be back.
The Dalai Lama. So I'm on a first tee with him. I give him the driver. He hauls off and whacks one. Big hitter.
The Lama.
Long. Into a 10,000-foot crevice right at the base of this glacier. You know what the Lama says? Gunga Galunga. Gunga, Gunga Galunga.
And we're back to start the second half hour of the show, spending it with KC Kerr. And it was interesting how I came upon this guest, because I was covering a live event a number of weeks ago, and I ran into Maureen. Mo, as she's affectionately known, who does PR for the Live event. She worked for the PGA Tour for a lot of years. And she says, I have this friend who's got a book coming out. And I said, okay. He says, well, it's Casey Kerr. And he's a longtime caddy. I said, yeah, I'm a little familiar with his work. He's got a book coming out. And so I say, okay. And Mo's out on the road with the tour. So we email occasionally back and forth. And finally get a call from Steve Jackson, Action Jackson, who is a business partner with said guest this hour. And Steve says, yeah, we'll send you the book, and I'd love to get Casey on, full of stories, and it'll be really interesting. So fast forward, get the book, start talking, and then I get an opportunity to talk to Casey at length by chance, because I'd love to talk to my guests a little bit ahead of time. For them to feel comfortable, or so they knew who I am, and that kind of comes together that way. And Casey and I talked for about almost an hour. So it was great to be able to do that, because Casey's time is very valuable. But when you have the kind of experiences in life that you've had, Casey, a lot of that surfaces. You certainly have this abundance of knowledge for the course and all these great experiences in your life.
Oh, yeah. It's like, thank you, Stephen Jackson, for throwing my name out there. Stephen does great work and is a great business partner. And as far as the pros are concerned, just funny thinking about Vijay, the superstitions that these guys have is crazy. One time I was in Quad Cities in Moline, and Vijay was 6 under. I think he was like a couple off the lead, and the Big Daddy was playing some golf. We went to the back nine, and I don't know if you've ever been to Quad Cities in Moline, but it gets hot there. And so I threw the towel away and pulled out a new towel for the back nine, you know, fresh one for the front and fresh one for the back. And we walked off the 10th tee about 30 yards, and Vijay went to grab the towel. He said, Big Daddy, where's the towel? I said, the towel's back. Turn the trash can. I got a nice fresh towel for the back nine. He said, that towel's got 6 under par in it. Are you crazy? He said, go get the towel. It sent me back to go get the dirty towel. I said, these guys are crazy.
The nuances, and that's the thing, because what people don't understand, that don't know about being a professional caddy, is that you can lose your job at any time.
One thing about the job. You're one shot away from being fired on any given day. So caddies cannot have bad days. Caddies can't have colds. Caddies can't have a headache. Caddies can't call in sick. I tell my son, look, you want to be successful in life, go to work. We work 7 days a week. The most I ever did was 46 tournaments in 1 year. And fortunately for me, I didn't ever miss a tee time. And, I enjoyed it, but I used to think it was the greatest job in the world. I thought I had the greatest con job in the world. I'm watching these guys play golf for a living, making money. I'm standing next to them watching these incredible shots, and they're paying me. I thought it was the greatest job ever. Who am I kidding?
All right, I'm just going to regurgitate what I thought I heard Casey say. 46 tournaments in a row. 46 weeks straight you worked On the tour?
Yeah, the Growler's a longtime caddy. He called me, he called me Iron Man. One year I worked full-time for two players. Their schedules only conflicted 1 week, Don Pulley and Fuzzy Zeller. But, you know, when you're in the groove and you're making money and they're both playing good, you just keep going. You know, like 1 week it was Fuzzy, 2 weeks Don, 2 weeks Fuzzy, 1 week. You just keep going. And you get in the groove and all of a sudden, you know, they get confident with you. And then, you know, you just, you know, you can get the number out quick and you stay. The key that most golfers, common denominator, have ever said to them having a good caddy is they like a caddy that doesn't waver. If he's shooting six over or six under, he's still the same person. That's what they like. And so when you've caddied in a lot of events, you've learned to stay pretty calm.
Yeah, and Don had a pretty decent career as well, and not to Fuzzy's level and such, but anytime your guy's winning or placing, you're seeing a little bit of cash.
Yeah, well, Don Pulley was a great putter, and I remember when I first started caddying for him, I said, which way do you move the ball? He said, any way I want to. Yeah, these guys are good. I mean, I loved him. He was a great putter. One thing a caddy always loves, he loves having a great putter.
Are you glad you came up caddying when you did? And I asked that because it wasn't easy for the guys when you started, because the caddy shacks were different and the conditions were different, and a lot of guys, I mean, nowadays they stay in hotels or they stay in nice places, but it wasn't always the case.
Yeah, well, when I started caddying, people asked me, how did I get to be a caddy? It's pretty funny. I was a complete failure in everything in life, so I qualified. You know, I mean, you know, back in those days, you didn't grow up and say, I want to be a caddy. You said, I want to be a doctor, a lawyer, a fireman, or a policeman. Nobody said they wanted to be a caddy, but to me, it was just, when I got a job on tour, I thought I had arrived in life. I thought it was the coolest thing in the world, and the money wasn't that great. You know, we used to stay two or three guys to a room just to save money, but we really didn't save money because we didn't have any money. I mean, nobody had any money back then. So, but it was fun, and it was exciting. It's a different era now, but the guys that are doing it now, they do it at a high level. I think I listen to them on the weekends on TV like a lot of people do, and I hear what they say, and I think a lot of them are extremely professional. They do a great job, and I'm happy that they're getting more money. You know, I mean, they work hard, they travel around, they make sacrifices. So I'm happy for all the guys.
Yeah, it's amazing the difference in it. We talk about that on this show over time, because the 40s and 50s and even in the 60s, these guys weren't making a lot of money. Bob Teske's a regular contributor to this show, and he was the leading money winner in 1954. And he made $50,000. So, you know, relatively speaking, you know, with Sam Snead and Ben Hogan, all these guys, you know, they weren't making very much money at all.
Yeah, no, I agree. But, I mean, I remember when I got my first check, and the biggest check I got back in those days, I got a check for $12,000. I'll be honest with you. I thought I was the richest guy in America.
Yeah, that's not bad. I think Ted Scott, your buddy's a millionaire now, based on the way his player's playing. So, yeah.
Oh no, that would be multi.
Yeah, sometimes you get lucky and you pick a good bag, don't you?
Well, you know what? I couldn't be happier for him. I'm glad those two hooked up, and their chemistry is great, and they've adapted to Ted's adapted to. To Mr. Scheffler, and Scheffler's just on his game. And look, I'm happy for him. I'm glad they're doing great. I hope their success continues, because you got to remember, in any sport, you know, it raises the level of your competition.
Absolutely. I mean, you need somebody out there. You need a few somebodies, because I mean, Tiger is a once in a true generational type player. But when you see somebody that is so proficient as Scotty is, it's great to see. But he also has other contemporary, Rory and other guys. There's a lot of talent. I mean, Bryson, these guys, complacent.
Tommy Fleetwood.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, to this, so I do want to. I'm glad you brought Tommy up because finally, and it's amazing the tournament that he actually wins, right? Because he struggled. He was leading through three rounds of a number of tournaments, and fourth round comes, his final round, and it just goes away, right? But this guy stays tough. He wins the Tour Championship. And thus the FedEx Cup as well. So a lot of money in his pocket, and everybody's cheering him as he won. They're chanting Tommy as he's walking around Atlanta at Eastlake, and they are in the Atlanta area. And you know, now he has won the Tour Championship, the FedEx Cup, and then later in September, he's going to be on the European side. So he's going to go from all this cheering to all this razzing, I'm sure, when he plays at Bethpage.
Oh, yeah. I sent Tommy's caddy a note Saturday night going into Sunday and just reminding him how good he is, and wished him luck, and told him to fight for every shot. It's never easy. And I told him pressure's a privilege. You know, embrace it. And he sent me a nice note, and I was happy to see them get it across the line.
Yeah,
as were a lot of people.
Yeah, you know, you do end up rooting for people, whether in the media. You know, we don't root, so to speak, in the media, or not supposed to. But when there are certain guys that you pull for, and Tommy's just a good guy. He just, you know, and when you have these trials and tribulations, I mean, even Tiger reached out to him after he won.
Well, how about LeBron James on Twitter? I love it when other top athletes respond and that they're watching our sport. I think it's great for the sport, great for the game, and I just love to see it, you know, because the golfers do get some respect mentally, because what they do for 4 days to get it across the line, whew, it's not easy.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I mean, even MJ struggles with the game, and he's one of the greatest basketball players of all time. But, you know, I don't think LeBron has ever picked up a club, but I mean, I know he's got some teammates that play, but it is interesting how engaged he can be when it comes to golf. It's fascinating to me.
Yeah, a lot of guys like it. Any Ryder Cup questions?
Oh, we're going to talk Ryder Cup. I don't know if we got questions. So I guess if I have to ask a question, you being a prognosticator, can the U.S. win? Can they beat Europe? Because it's not been so great. Keegan has decided he's going to be a captain only. He's not going to play, which could be a good move or not so good move. But he wants to concentrate on his appointment as captain, which I commend him on that. And he's got a pretty good bunch of guys that he's chosen. So besides the ones that qualified, what are your thoughts?
I think the answer to your question is it all has to do with pairing the guys together. Like, look at the European Tour. You got McIlroy and Lowry. They pair together. Tommy Fleetwood and Robert McIntyre, they'll probably pair together. Tyrrell Hatton and Justin Rose, you know, they're both English. They'll pair them together. You got Oberg and you got Rasmus. No, most people don't know who Rasmus Højgaard is, but I know his caddy. Pretty good, really nice guy. And, you know, they'll probably put those two together. Everything about the Ryder Cup is, you know, you got to be comfortable with your partner and know that your partner's there to help you and you're there to help him. It's like peanut butter and jelly. I mean, you just got to know that you can put them both together and it's going to make a great sandwich, you know? Yeah, I think Hal Sutton put Mickelson and Tiger together, and we all thought, oh, these guys are going to slaughter whoever they play. And I remember they got beat or they narrowly won. I don't exactly remember what the outcome was, but it wasn't nothing what we thought it was. So I think in the Ryder Cup, it all has to do with the pairing. So the only person that's not on the team that I would have liked to have seen on the team, I think he intimidates people just enough to where, you know, makes them think. But I think not having Bruce Koepka on the team, I think he could have brought value to the Ryder Cup team. I know he hadn't had a great year, but, I mean, he's a great player. He's a Ryder Cup player. He rises to occasions. And I think Brooks Koepka could have brought some value to the team. I was disappointed not to see him on the team. I mean, the guys that are on the U.S. team, you got Scheffler, Spahn, Schauffele, Henley. You got Chambeau, Harris English, Thomas, Morikawa, Griffin, Young, Cantley, Burns. I mean, all those guys are top players, but I really would have liked to have seen Koepka on there. I think he could have brought some points to the team. But I think, in fairness to the coach, I'm glad his decision was to coach, because if he'd have picked himself, it would have been so much pressure on himself just to play that it just would have been too much. So I think he made the right choice. And as far as the outcome, look, they're up there in New York. I can tell you one thing. They were down in Baltimore a couple of weeks ago, and they were already hollering. Imagine what it's going to be like in New York. The U.S. better get on the board quick, because if they don't, they'll quiet those guys down. And if you got some alcohol going in them, those New York fans, they can be brutal. So I think every day is going to be fireworks. I think it's going to be close. I hope it's tight. I hope it goes down to the last putt. I just don't hope it crushes somebody for missing a short one. But I think we're in for a heck of a show.
Yeah, I was digging through some golf stuff earlier this week, and I ran across my 2009 bottle huggy from Bethpage U.S. Open, and I had flashbacks of them just heckling the heck out of certain players, and it's always interesting in New York, no question about that.
Yeah, I will tell you, Nick Faldo had the greatest con job I ever saw in New York one year. I knew they were going to be harassing him, and he did something that I'd never seen anybody do, but he quieted him down faster than anybody. He wore a hat, and it said, "I love New York." I thought, now that was clever, you know?
Yeah.
So I think the Euros know that it's an away game. They know it's going to be tough. But you got to remember, New York's got a lot of culture, and there's a lot of European fans that'll be coming across the pond. It's not that, you know, it's not that difficult of a flight to go direct from Heathrow to New York. So I think there's going to be equal fans on both sides. I think we're in for a fireworks show, and I think the game of golf is going to be the winner, and I think it's going to deliver for sure.
Excellent. As we're talking to Casey Kerr on Teed Up with Keith Jones. So Brooks Koepka is very polarizing. So if you add him, Casey, to your Ryder Cup list, who are you taking off that list?
Well, you know, I'm not the coach, and I don't study him enough to, you know, call any one individual player out. But there's a couple of them on there that have been struggling historically, and you can look at their record. So, and they know who they are. It's just, you know, it'd be unfair for me to pick one person just because I like them all. I just wish there was one less guy, and I just wish Koepka was on there. You know, I just believe a guy like him, if you look at his career, it's pretty strange. He shows up in majors. I think he would show up at the Ryder Cup. I could be wrong, you know, but let's talk about the course. I caddied that golf course back when I think it was Lucas Glover won there, and I can tell you this. It's not a memorable course. I don't remember any of the holes. Maybe one of the par threes I remember. One thing I remember about it, we don't go back in the clubhouse and sit there and have a beer with all our buddies and talk about how great we played. Everyone's exhausted, got a long face because we made eights, nines, and tens on holes because the course is so difficult. It's very long. It's very demanding.
With Casey Kerr, we're back to wrap up the show after this break. I have thoroughly enjoyed this guest, and hopefully you've enjoyed him as well. Casey Kerr, renowned caddy on Teed Up with Keith Jones. Pick up his book, Walking with Greatness, My Caddy Life on the Tour with Fred, Fuzzy, VJ, Tiger, and more. And what is your favorite part, or what are you most proud of when it comes to the book, Casey?
Well, I don't know that there's anything in particular that I'm the most proud of. I guess the fact that I finished it and I'm still alive, I think, is, you know, starting something like that under my conditions was pretty tough. So I thought scratching down a couple stories would be interesting for some of the people to read. And I just wanted people to have an insight on the game from a perspective of inside the ropes and what it was like actually in the heat of the battle. So that was my contribution, basically. And people like to know a little bit about, oh, what is this person like? What is he like? And, you know, the guys are really competitors. And I think the fact that I finished the book, I thought was pretty – the fact that I started it and actually got it finished was an accomplishment. And I love the cover, being I'd been across that bridge at Augusta on 12 many times. And I love the fact that, you know, what's the guy's name on the Golf Channel? He said, I told him the name of it, Walking with Greatness. And he said, well, you've definitely walked with some good ones. And so I just thought it was nice just to share with people some of the parables of and experiences that I've had with these guys that have been, you know, pretty interesting on a daily basis. I caddied for 35 years on tour. I mean, I caddied a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. And for me, as I was reading the book, I started at the end, and it's the final word, which is why now. And it's because Casey had a cancer diagnosis. And when you have cancer, it definitely changes your perspective on a lot of things. I know it did for me. And sometimes you get lucky and survive it, and sometimes you're not so lucky. But you know, when you put the words down on the page and the memories came flooding back, I know that was important for you. And it does give you reason to go on. And it's been now more than 2 years that you've been coming back. So this is great news. And you sound great. And nobody would ever know if you hadn't told people about that.
No, I feel great. And you miss being inside the ropes, you know, because – you know, your phone rings, people call you, they ask you questions when you're gone. You know, your phone doesn't ring anymore, people don't call you, and they don't really care what you think.
Good. Well put right there, my man. Well put. In the last couple minutes before we close out, I did want to mention the word rangefinder. And I know we're going to get cut short because it's probably a little longer than a two-minute story. But now PGA professionals are able to use a rangefinder during competition. And guess who brought the rangefinder to professional golf in the first place? Oh, you're right. It was this hour's guest. So Casey, you're a big entrepreneur, you're a businessman amongst other things. How does this happen?
Well, I mean, I was pretty lucky, but Fuzzy was playing in Shinnecock, edited version, and he hit it in the rough, or playing a practice round, and he wanted to know the yardage. And I was like, I didn't get the yardage for him, because he normally doesn't care how far he is if he's in the rough in a practice round. And these two guys were next to me, and they said, we got this device that gives you the yardage in 1 second. And I was like, what? So they wrote their name and address down on the back of my yardage book, and at the end of the year, I got a hold of them. I brought the product out to Tucson the following year, and it was a product made by Savorsky, a company that had been in the glass business for years. And Sandy Lyle was the first customer, and he hit the end of the range in Tucson at 200, and I forget the number it was, but I said, hey, take two steps back. So if it was 230, then he took two steps back, he got 232. I said, and it gives it to you in 1 second. Well, needless to say, it went down the range like fire, and they just flew out the door. Then a couple weeks later at the Bob Hope, Arnold Palmer bought, I think Palmer bought two. It was in 1996, so it's been a while. But anyways, it was just, I sold them to Carson Solheim, Ely Calloway. I mean, architects. I mean, it was application all over the place for golf. But I must admit now, to know that it revolutionized the game in the yardage capacity and made it a lot easier for caddies and players. And I think it's pretty cool. I just got lucky and happened to be in the right place at the right time.
Like we're in the right place at the right time. Great guest indeed, Casey Kerr. Hopefully he'll be back to join us in upcoming months. But we're out of time. Get out there and practice your game. Use a rangefinder. Practice. Take your game to the next level. And we will talk to you next week. Take care.